Now, the Herald Sun had some of this morning, but a lot more details been released on the state government's plan to deal with the problems we have with sex offenders. We know the Jill Maher situation, Masa Vukotic. Premier Daniel Andrews told me about the Vukotic case in particular, Sean Price. He said the system's broken. He told me this on Friday, and we have to be serious about fixing it. Number of new laws will be introduced. On the line, Police and Corrections Minister Wade Noonan. Good morning.
G'day, Neil.
You're setting up a specialist response unit, which seems one of the biggest steps to me. How will that work?
Well, look, for the first time, we'll embed within our sex offender management unit the resources of Victoria Police. We'll add nine specialist police members into that unit to essentially supervise, case manage, however you want to term it, but essentially ensure that those on supervision orders are compliant with the terms of those orders. And obviously, in terms of powers, we need to take legislation through the Parliament to give them appropriate powers to enter premises, conduct searches, and obviously as part of that, they'll be able to arrest those if they're in breach.
So where will they be? When you say embedded, will they be part of the Corrections Department unit?
Yes, they will be, and so they will be based together.
Okay, how many people will that involve?
Well, nine new police officers on top of a fairly big sex offender management unit that already exists in Corrections Victoria.
How many altogether then?
Well, look, that specialist response unit will have 12 overall, so three, and then there will be additional resources that are already there because we have sex offenders, if you like, who are paroled, and obviously the supervision and detention of the existing cohort of offenders needs to be managed as well. It's a highly resource-intensive area.
But if we see this specialist response unit as a group that sort of monitors and makes sure, you know, goes into their houses, makes sure they're not a high risk, how many people altogether working with that?
So that specialist response unit, Neil, will be 12 people, and to give you a sense, there are currently 53 offenders on supervision orders at the Corella facility in Ararat and 44 residing in the community. There has been a number through the bed checking compliance process over the last month who've been moved out of the community to Corella. Okay. So we're not talking about a huge cohort of people, but that is a significant additional investment that we're making.
And who will they be monitoring? Who will they be watching?
Well, essentially those people exclusively on supervision orders. There are two individuals on detention orders. Those individuals are currently housed inside the walls at Hopkins Prison in Ararat.
And what are the power? What will the powers be of this specialist response unit to monitor these people?
So the powers will be to allow police to enter premises to check for compliance. It'll also allow police to conduct drug and alcohol tests. Police currently can enter premises on the basis of a suspected breach. So this lowers, if you like, the threshold in relation to that entry. Police can use reasonable force in relation to the entry as well. Additionally, to close a gap in the current legislation, we are giving our security and emergency services group within Corrections Victoria a capacity also to work alongside our community corrections officers in relation to this compliance work as well.
So how many people are there on supervision orders?
Well, currently there are 116 in Victoria. So 53, as I said, reside at Ararat, 44 in the community, and 19 are currently in prison.
So 116 on supervision orders and a new force of 12 supervising.
On top of the compliance work that is already done there now.
How will you change the Bail Act?
Well, look, we will quite literally simplify it. We'll have a presumption against bail for any serious sex offender who is charged with an indictable offence. That person will now need to show cause why their detention is not justified. That's an important change.
So is that just applying to sex offences or any offence?
That applies to people who are on a supervision order. My colleague, the attorney, is doing a broader review into our bail laws, but we don't believe that we can wait in relation to this particular group in our community who pose a very high risk.
Because none of this would have affected Adrian Bailey and Jill Marcos, would it?
Well, in fact, my recollection of that case is that he was paroled. In the case of Sean Price, he was in fact arrested and charged and then bailed. We want to take that presumption away and have a presumption against bail for anyone who is on one of these supervision orders.
So can't we extend that presumption to people who are charged with violence offences?
Well, again, my colleague, the attorney, is having a look at the broader issue of bail, but this is a highly targeted scheme, a scheme that, in the assessment of the court, has people supervised because they pose an unacceptable risk to the community. So I don't want to wait, if you like, for the conclusion of the attorney's bail review before I move on these people.
Will you review the suppression orders? We have this ridiculous situation where people escape from this supervised facility and the police can't tell us who they are or what they look like, even though they're considered dangerous to the public because their names are suppressed. Can that be reviewed?
It's an area that I'm currently receiving some advice on, Neil, particularly those people, not just on this particular scheme, but more broadly, who are on the sex offenders register. It's an area that we're looking at, particularly where individuals may not be where they should be, and there may be a need for police to seek the assistance of the community.
Would you agree it seems bizarre that the names of sex offenders are protected in such circumstances?
Well, look, it's a very complex and difficult area, and obviously one that...
Well, no, it's not if it comes to protection of the public, which is what we're talking about here. And I've had it several times. Somebody walks out of one of these units, police say he's dangerous, don't go near him, he's been known for raping children, but we can't tell you who he is or what he looks like. Now, that's just ridiculous.
Of course, the difficulty here is in terms of, you know, potential vigilantes against individuals.
No. This is a bloke. We're talking about people on the run, for heaven's sake.
Your first question, your broad question, went to shouldn't we be able to just identify all of these individuals? That is one issue. The secondary issue, which you talk about, where people might be absconding or not where they should be, that is something that I'm having a look at.
Okay. But you don't want to identify all of them because you're worried about vigilantes?
Well, that is always a concern, that individuals will be targeted. And I understand that you've got to try and balance the issue of community safety against the issue of vigilantes. It's a difficult area.
Do you really? Do you really? I mean, doesn't community safety come first?
Well, the sorts of measures that we are taking today, Neil, in terms of the legislation we're putting before the Parliament the work that we are doing in terms of additional investment should send a very strong message to the community that we are all about community safety.
I was talking to a former commissioner in the New York Police earlier this morning who said in New York when he was there, they would put onto the internet the names of sex offenders and where they lived, even when they were out of jail, they'd done their time. What's your view of that?
Well, look, that's not an approach that we have here in Australia. I didn't hear the interview with the commissioner this morning. I think there is a concern in relation to vigilantes, and I can't ignore that concern.
Okay. I think the Premier said this morning there are 44 serious sex offenders in the community. They're being monitored, are they?
Each of those will have particular aspects to orders imposed by the court. So it might be a curfew, it might be electronic monitoring, it might be that they must stay within a set geographical area. There can be any number of conditions imposed by the courts. Importantly, compliance against those conditions.
So who's monitoring them?
Currently Corrections Victoria do that monitoring work, and as I said earlier, the specialist response unit, which we will add as part of our announcement today, will also do that work alongside.
But how closely are those 44 being monitored now, as of today?
Very closely, Neil. And in fact, after the government learnt of the actions of Sean Price, the despicable actions of Sean Price, we went out and did a bed check of all of those individuals, and you can imagine that we've remained very vigilant.
Yeah, but this led to two of them being put back in, didn't it?
Absolutely, for breaches of the conditions of their order. You would expect to see an even greater level of vigilance around that additional resourcing.
I know you need to go just quickly to that New York commissioner I was talking about earlier. And I was doing that because there was this report of New York-style policing in Richmond. If it works in Richmond, will we look at expanding it?
Oh, look, I'm pretty clear about the role that I have, Neil, in terms of being the minister. I would defer to Graham Ash and the Chief Commissioner in relation to the operational model of policing in the community. I think what we saw last week was, in the northwest, an acceptance there that police want to devote some real energy and resourcing into trying to stop a graduation, if you like, of offending that happens in a particular part of Melbourne. Look, I'm not familiar myself with the New York style of policing.
Really?
In terms of, I didn't hear your interview.
No, but the New York style policing has been around since, what, mid-90s?
Well, to the extent that I didn't hear the interview, I understand that there's a lower level of tolerance around this, but...
Yeah, you heard of the broken windows philosophy?
No, I haven't.
Okay, that is where you address minor crime because it grows to major crime, whether it's graffiti, broken windows, minor theft, street offences.
Well, again, I'm pretty clear about what my role is as the minister. My role is not to be operational, and I think that that's quite right. When you get politicians start telling police how to do their job, I think that's wrong. It's a collaborative approach that we take as a government, working with the Chief Commissioner. I respect the fact that the Chief Commissioner can make those operational decisions about the policing model he deploys.
Okay, thanks for your time. Wade Noonan, Police and Corrections Minister.